Hi, it's Leah Dunn here from OCI Radio on 101.6 FM for the Costa del Sol and 94.6 FM for the Costa Blanca. You're all very welcome to the show. And indeed, you're all very welcome to the show today. Now, my guests in the studios today are Martin and Marion Sheeran from Elite Clinics in Fuengirola. And we're joined again today by Rachel Jameson. You're all very welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, thank you very much. Now, Rachel suffered from bulimia for 15 years. We've been going through her life story over the last few weeks. So we're coming to the brighter end of things, I hope, now this week, aren't we? Yeah. So tell us. I very nearly said Australia again. South Africa was a disaster, obviously. So at this stage, you were feeling fairly low in yourself, yeah?
Yeah, I was. Virtually at this point, I'd given up on finding help, but I was doing it, I suppose, for my family and my partner. I agreed that I'd carry on looking for some help.
And just to remind people who, in case they haven't been listening up to this, Rachel had gone off to South Africa on a 12-week course that was to help her with her eating disorder. It turned out that it was an absolute disaster, and you came back after 6 weeks. Yeah, it cost a fortune, and no results whatsoever. Yeah.
No, it just, it made me more sort of reluctant, I suppose.
Yeah. And also, I think, I think it's like anything, if you're doing... something, be it alcoholism or whatever, and you're trying to give it up for somebody else, be it your partner, your family or whatever, it's not always the right idea. Would it be right in saying that, Martin? You've got to do this thing for yourself, don't
always.
You?
Always. Especially with an addiction, it's no good someone telling you to stop smoking and stop using cocaine. It will only happen when the person wants it to happen. You've got to get the right time in their life.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Though I think you were fairly positive about the trip away, weren't you, in yourself? You kind of felt that this was going to help you, didn't you?
I was. By this point, I've spent so long wanting to keep hold of the bulimia, and by this point I was in a rut,
exactly,
with myself, with my life, my health was seriously.
And I suppose in a way it kind of, made you feel justified. Well, you see, I went, I did it, I tried it, it didn't work, so just leave me be, let me get on with my bulimia,
But I still, like I say, I couldn't live with the bulimia anymore physically.
No. 15 years.
Everything was stopping, I hadn't had periods for years at a time.
And at this age, you're 30 now. You were 29,
30? 29.
So you're with a steady partner, so you might be thinking of having a family or something like that. And obviously, if everything isn't working.
No. Yeah. Very, very nearly, as with eating disorders, it's just not possible. And long term, you're putting yourself at risk of an awful lot of illnesses.
Yeah. Okay, so you were hunting on the internet, were you, for some help?
Because I was living in Spain, there wasn't as many sort of places, as many options as the UK. And I came across a few, and then I came across Elite Clinics in Fuengirola.
And tell us about that now.
Got in contact with them. When I looked on the website, I liked it. The approach, I suppose, it incorporated a few different techniques. It had been very rigid before, the kind of help that I was receiving. And it appealed to me, so I sent them a couple of emails. They sent them back. They said, come along, come and see us. At that point, I was still sort of quite reluctant to lay down money or my parents' money or my partner's money.
Yeah.
And I suppose I had my pride still.
But yes.
They said, come along and, might charge you for the first session.
Yeah.
So.
Off you went.
Off I went.
Yeah. So what was your first impression of Rachel, Martin?
I was worried, I think, because you worry about when someone's got to that situation with bulimia where the hair stopped growing, they're losing their teeth, they stopped having periods, the odd word.
And 15 years.
Yeah, the odd word, will this, be the death of me. Sometimes they talk about suicide. It's very, very worrying.
Had you ever got to that stage, thinking of suicide?
I got to that stage a couple of times, and being quite honest with my family, almost say, I can't live in a normal way. I don't want to live like existing like this.
Yes,
but I couldn't see a way out. So I just kept doing it because I knew that I couldn't do it to the rest of my family, but if it had just been myself, things might have been different.
Probably just as well, isn't it? She came from a family.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be here today telling us about it. Yeah. Okay, so Martin, tell us about the treatment. Tell us how it all started. And
the treatment for bulimia that we use at the clinic is based on cognitive behaviour therapy.
Explain that to our listeners who don't know what that means.
Cognitive behaviour therapy. Cognitive is mental, behaviour is obviously physical. And really it's just getting people to look at the thoughts they're having and how irrational they are and get them to reposition the whole thing.
Okay.
And maybe Rachel will explain a little bit more about how she felt, about how that treatment works. But cognitive behaviour therapy is being used increasingly to treat everything from cocaine addiction to depression now, from insomnia to palpitations of the heart, for God's sake. We're using it for all kinds of things. And it's very, very powerful, very, very fast, and it's person-centered and it's solution-focused. So it actually offers the person a very, very quick turnaround. I don't know if that's where Rachel got with it, but I think even after the first couple of sessions, you noticed quite a big difference, didn't you?
I just simply felt more hopeful. I mean, in the past, I'd always gone to people and therapists and said, this is how I am. I don't want to be like this anymore. And all I got was a lot of theories and plans and resolutions chucked at me. And I said it again almost sort of robotically when I went into the clinic to see Martin. I said, this is how I am. I don't want to be like this anymore. And he virtually said, well, you don't have to be.
Yeah.
You know, life doesn't have to be like this.
And no one had ever said that to you before.
No one had ever said that. And even if they said, well, at the end of the time, you're always going to have this in your life, there's always going to be issues, you know, we'll help you deal with them. And he said, well, no, we'll help you live your life without them, you know.
Yeah.
And, for the first time in a very long time, showed me the life I could have and deserve to have.
Exactly,
you know, rather than
entitled to, like everybody else.
Rather than dealing with what I was dealing with in a sort of better way. It was just a complete turnaround for me. It was a different approach.
Because I remember the first time Rachel came in, and at the end of the session, she said, so now do we have to, you can give me some eating plans to take away, food diaries and charts and things like that. And when we explained to them, we're not going to do anything like that whatsoever. I think that was quite liberating as well.
It was very liberating.
Yeah, it's totally different. And that just convinces people that, you know, there is a normal life there. And when you ask people, when you say something to Rachel, I know there's something in her story about it where you say, what would it be like when you haven't got this anymore? You
know, because you'd spent just so many years with this, you know, habit, you know, if nothing else, yeah.
Well, I'd resign myself to a life, even if I didn't have it in my life, I'd be resign myself to fighting it, and that's what people had told me.
It'd be always lurking in the background.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the, not the turning point, but one of the most significant things that happened in this therapy, Martin asked me to imagine what life would be like without the bulimia.
Yeah.
And he also, I mean, a big thing for me was I thought that I needed it. I thought it was part of my life that I...
Well, you just spent so many years,
I was addicted to it. There was a big thing that stood out for me about want and need, and it actually came down to, well, I didn't actually need to be bulimic. I resigned myself to the fact that I needed it. And he said, what would it be like if you took it away? And I wrapped my brains try and come up with an answer, and I thought, well, actually it would be so much better.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And it seemed almost very simple.
I know,
but I mean, for so long there have been all these theories and bombardments with eating plans and food diaries, and it's actually, we came to the point, it was that simple. It didn't need to be like that, and if it wasn't, look how it can be.
Exactly, yeah. Martin, you said at an earlier stage that Rachel wasn't showing all the signs of your average bulimic, insofar as that she didn't have any, you know, psychological, you know, problems in her past, or so, you know, when you looked at her, did you think, why, this is a challenge, or, you know, how did you see it?
Rachel was challenge, she was certainly a challenge. But there was, you knew from day one there was hope that it could be done, you know. It was going to take time.
And could it be easier? Because there is no underlying, you know, terrible trauma in her past, so you don't have to deal with that.
That's right. It did make it easier. And one thing that should be said, you know, Rachel lived in La Linea. So she was doing a two-hour coach ride, bus ride, from La Linea to Fringola.
Yeah.
She was having a two-hour session. Then she had to wait, bless her, 3 hours before the coach went back from Frank Rivers to Lenny. So these were holdouts, and she was coming three times a week. So the therapy became a total life, really.
Absolutely. But a very positive total life, I suppose, is the one that was being lived before that.
There's a lot of telephone contacts in between, etc. But it was a big commitment. And maybe that commitment, that the coach, the travelling and everything else, that actually was a good indicator of how committed that Rachel was to actually change.
Yes,
You know, maybe she had lived in Frengrove and could just walk around the corner.
Exactly,
down
might be quite,
It wouldn't have been quite the commitment. So that was a good sign.
Absolutely, So how did you feel? When did you start to feel, my God, I can beat this? When did you feel like that? When did you really feel, that there is light at the end of all? I mean, 15 years is just so long, so it must,
Well, from the first session, I think the way I could describe it when I left, I felt, like Mark said, liberated. I just felt confused because for so many years I'd sort of, because I was, it almost became a hobby for me. I was so interested in bulimia. I knew all about diet, nutrition, bulimia. You know, I knew it back to front. And I thought I knew the system back to front as well. I could almost, read therapists' minds. And for once, I came out of the session and everything had been shattered.
Oh, yeah, right. I see what you mean.
And way. And I was
I haven't got a handle on this one.
I was almost looking to say no.
To challenge it.
And actually, it was that simple. You know, there was nothing confusing about it. I could get better. And before, I'd been told in no uncertain terms that, you can control it, you can manage it.
Yes.
And this time I come out and
you can walk away from it.
I don't have to have it anymore in your life,
That must have been like a huge weight that was being lifted off your mind that, you could just turn your back on it.
Oh, well, I actually felt excited. I wasn't really sure what to expect, but...
Yeah. And you're not going to change overnight either as well. So how are you now? How are you dealing? How long have you been in treatment now?
I'm great. Well, I started in November.
Yeah.
We're now February. I'm just so much more optimistic, I suppose. I got my health back. I've been very lucky that I've done this for so long and I haven't got other serious
long-lasting problems. Yes, exactly,
I feel like I look back over 15 years. When I started, I thought it was an alternative way to diet. If I'd have known what I know now, where it would end up taking over my entire life,
absolutely.
My plans, my experiences. I feel regret, but I'm also looking forward.
You're a young woman. You've got your whole life ahead.
It's my 30th birthday in April, and I'm actually looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Some of the things now, just such as family, like I say, I've got my periods back after years and years.
Yes, you can start looking forward to a normal future,
I'm just so much more optimistic. You know, it's nice to just...
And how about the food end of things? How are you handling that? How do you know when you sit down?
Great, because it's all relaxed. Like I was saying before, I always thought I'd have to have rigid structures and plans and this and that. I'm just listening to my body now.
Eating when you're hungry, not eating when you're not.
It's nice to have some energy back. Food is... I no longer see food as a bad thing.
Because for your average person, which you are now, I might add, it's like food is a wonderful thing. You go out for a nice meal, it's a happy event. It's, something to be celebrated for most people. It must have been just horrendous.
I think I was always scared to go back to, if I couldn't be bulimic, that I'd have to eat everything in 15 times a day and put on, 5 stone. But I can still have a healthy attitude.
Marion, you're
food.
Quite an expert now. We've had several conversations about this sort of thing. What's your, give us a little bit of input there. How do you think, what is your best advice now for Rachel from here on in?
She's getting into the pattern now of just listening to her body and eating normal amounts of food, not having to feel guilty about eating food and, just taking it easy and being sensible. And we actually all went out for a lovely Indian meal last night and she had a great time and she was relaxed and she ate a normal amount of food for a normal person, and I think she enjoyed it. So
that's what we want to. Maybe you'll come back in maybe 6 months' time and tell us how you're getting on, Rachel, will you?
I'd love to.
So do you feel now that you'd like to help other people in this situation?
Certainly, because I thought, because it's been such a long process for me, and it wasn't necessary. I know that I certainly personally felt that after so many years, it was too late for me.
Yeah, never too late.
Yeah.
And as you said earlier, Spain is a difficult country insofar as that we don't have the accessibility to all the things we have at home, like, you know, when there are problems like this. So, Mr. Elite Clinics there, Martin Sheeran, you've obviously come to Rachel's help there. So, you know, tell us, what do you think of this success story?
Well, it was a challenge, but I'm glad we got there in the end. Rachel's going to go. Rachel's in what we call a maintenance phase now. So
yeah.
We'd probably carry on seeing Rachel on a 2 or 3 weekly cycle as things go forward, and then go out to twice, you know, once every alternate months, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And Rachel would just slot into a normal lifestyle.
Exactly.
You know, and
yeah.
it worked for her. The only couple of things I would add, having sat and listened to Rachel today, is that, you know, Rachel's mother and father came over quite early in the treatment, didn't they? And we got Rachel's mum and dad on side, because that was important that they understood what we were doing. They were paying anyway, but we got them on side. And one of the sessions, we also brought Rachel's partner up, and we did a session with Rachel's partner because we wanted him to understand exactly what we were trying to give Rachel.
Oh, I'd imagine that's absolutely of utmost importance, yeah.
But that's exactly why South Africa could never work, Leah.
Yeah.
Because you need everybody on side at the same time. And
yes,
that
yeah.
would never have worked. So they're just some of the things that we do, but we do that as normal. And when you hear that someone spent £10,000-£20,000 going on a residential program and none of the basics are covered, you think, people should be more aware of just what they're getting into. But anyway, listen, Rachel's a success story. Let's have more of them, I say.
Absolutely. Thumbs up, yeah. Well, listen, Rachel, thank you so much for coming down and sharing your story with us. Yeah, I'm so glad to hear that it all ended happily. And I'd like to know when the first child is on the way and all that. Let us continue. Maybe come back in a year's time and tell us how you're doing, yeah?
Definitely, thank you.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, thank you very much. And thank you very much, as usual, to Martin and Marion for coming down.
Thank you for having
us.
And I'm sure you'll be back with a new topic for us next week, yeah? Mm.
Definitely.
Okay, well, listen, thanks a million. And that was Martin and Marion Sheeran from Elite Clinics in Fuengirola. Just to remind everybody where they are, they're right opposite the post office in Fuengirola. Their number is 951-311-591. And their website is www.eliteclinics.com.